opportunity to visit with John Glennon with BroadwaySportsMedia.com. Preds and Titans chat with John. First of all, welcome back to the show, John. And did you feel like you would be in this position this week talking about a season that's been completed as far as the Titans? Or were you thinking that the divisional round was still looming for the Titans?
You know, honestly, it doesn't shock me that we're talking season end at this point. You know, I think it probably could have gone either way last week, but, you know, I don't think this Titans team across the board was as good as the 2019 team, you know, that went to the AFC Championship. It just didn't have enough, you know, balance, I didn't feel like. You know, that combined with the fact that it's difficult to beat a good team like the Ravens three times in a calendar year, you know. Sometimes the breaks are going to go the other team's way. Sometimes their adjustments are going to be better than yours eventually. It doesn't shock me. You know, I think the Titans clearly need to fill some deficiencies here going forward.
One of the things, when you look back to Sunday, what surprised you most, especially in the second half with the way the Titans played? And you could take that one step further and the decisions made by the coaching staff.
That would be an easy one. Yeah, I still, you know, I'm scratching my head over the 4th-and-2 decision to punt, you know, at Baltimore's 40-yard line. I just completely disagreed with that. You know, Mike Vrabel, you know, made his case that he was looking for field position there, and still there was plenty of time left in the fourth quarter. But, you know, my argument was, you know, you need just those 2 yards. You've got one of the better offenses in the game, even though it hadn't been playing well in that contest. And I'd rather rely, in the big picture, I'd rather rely on that offense than I would the defense. You know, and even if you fail in that situation, the only real downside, okay, Baltimore's got the ball at its own 40, but even if you hold them to a field goal, you're still only down by a touchdown. And there's more time left than if they had to go down the whole field and get a field goal, which is what
absolutely
they did. Yeah. So I was in certainly the disagreement on that one. As far as surprises in the game itself, you know, I guess really both sides of the line, you know, the fact that Derrick Henry could not get going at all, we kept waiting and waiting, and it just never happened. And on the other side, the fact that the defense held up pretty well. Everybody was kind of wondering, you know, how many points are the Titans going to need to win this game? Well, I guess you could say it turns out they only would have needed 21, you know, which was a little bit of a surprise.
You know, we often hear, whether it's college football, NFL, we always talk about, you know, forget the last play. You know, the quarterback, the star quarterback, the reason he's a star quarterback is because if the last play threw an interception, bam, that's ancient history. I bring it up because I'd like to get your assessment, because I threw this question out to Teresa Walker with the Associated Press as well. The week prior, as far as in that last regular season game against Houston, going for it for 4th-and-11, getting all the backlash, is like, what were you thinking in that situation? I wonder how much of a carryover effect it had 1 week later with that 4th-and-2 call there in the fourth quarter.
I would not rule that out, because it's interesting to me, even if you go back a week before that, remember he punted on the 4th-and-7 on Green Bay's 32, I think it was, and faced a lot of backlash from that. So then you go into the Houston game, it's 4th-and-11, you know, maybe there's a touch of that backlash, you know, in the back of his mind as well. I'm going to go for this one, you know, there's no doubt about it. Well, that doesn't work out. People are saying, what are you doing going on 4th-and-11, you know, and then he has a chance on 4th-and-2, and he says, well, I'm going to take it cautious this time. And, you know, does Mike Vrabel sit around and you know, think about what we're all saying during the week? No, you know, he certainly is a home man and knows much more about the game than we do. But nonetheless, you know, if you hear that the question raised enough, you know, whether you're interviewing with the media or you're reading clips or whatever, it's got to be in the back of your mind just a little bit, I think.
How big of a mistake was it when you think about off-season moves, the off-season move that was not made with Mike Vrabel hiring a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, what a just an odd situation. You know, we kept waiting for clarity on that front. We kept waiting for him to say, you know, I am the guy, or Shane Bowen is the guy, and really it was, you know, for so long they tried to mask everything, and you know, it's going to be kind of a combination, or, you know, Shane is going to do it, but, you know, he's still going to be the outside linebacker's coach. And, you know, in the end, something was certainly lost, you know, and you're going to lose something anyway when you go from Dean Pease to almost anybody. But, you know, the amount of times this year that we heard Titans players talk about communication not being good enough.
Right.
You know, I think that comes down, you know, it comes down from the top. And I think Shane Bowen is probably a pretty good coach, but there was something that was just not connecting, something that was just not clicking there. And in the end, I think you needed another piece, you know, and I think that was, I think the Titans will end up changing that for the coming season. My guess is that they will get a defensive coordinator from probably outside the building.
Well, look, I know it's not as important for us to understand what's going on as far as the communications and who's in charge of the defense, but look, just based on the words that have come out of the mouths of the defensive players over the year and everything else, I understand we didn't know. I'm trying to figure out whether or not the players knew who was responsible, who was accountable, who should I listen to, especially if I'm getting mixed messages.
Yeah, I agree with you, you know, and you know, I think it goes to the players on the team as well. You know, last year you had some guys on that defense, guys like Casey and Logan Ryan, and, you know, Wesley Woodyard, you know, wasn't a starter generally, but certainly, you know, was still a contributor. Three guys that were really savvy, smart guys, you know, knew how to help getting teammates lined up, knew, you know, what was coming sometimes, just guys that really studied the game, you know, and I think when you got rid of all three of those guys as well, that hurt the communication process. That really, you know, I think that was maybe overlooked a little bit, not only the talents of guys like Casey and Logan Ryan, but the fact that they were kind of, you know, sort of linchpins and sort of gluing that defense together a little bit. So I think that was a factor in addition to the defensive coordinator. It all, you know, I think it all comes back to that communication that the players talked about so frequently.
I think Jarrell Casey, huge loss, what he meant as far as that glue for the defense. I really felt like the fact that the front not being able to get pressure enough on quarterbacks, I think it exposed the secondary, made the entire defense. Because if you can get pass rush, it makes everything look good. And I think that was a huge thing. And here's the thing, too, when we think about how to improve in the offseason, you know, with a healthy Taylor Lewan, you know, here's an offense that, you know, is even as good as it was, is going to be even better for 2021. The big question would be, right now, if I told you you could have either Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith, but not both, which one would you want?
It's an interesting question. You know, I think at the beginning of this season, I certainly would have said, well, it's going to be Jonnu. You know, this guy is ready for a breakout season, you know, kind of uber-talented. You know, we got to keep him, and Corey was coming off, you know, a subpar year. Now, you know, I might, at this particular moment anyway, might lean differently. Corey Davis coming off a good year, you know, outside of the slide there at the end. You know, certainly an excellent compliment to A.J. Brown. You talk about two receivers, you know, who are both around 1,000 yards. You don't often see that. And you look at the tight end position, you know, Anthony Firkser had similar stats in a lot of, you know, not the touchdowns, obviously, but in a lot of ways he had some similar stats to Jonnu Smith, and he played about half the snaps that Jonnu Smith did. Now, again, it's a different role. He wasn't asked to do much in the way of blocking. But, you know, Jonnu Smith, I don't think has ever been considered an outstanding blocker, you know, maybe a solid blocker. But, you know, right now I think maybe – you know, John is more easily replaced than Corey Davis. But, you know, it's all going to come down to money terms as well.
And that's one of the things, too. It's not like the Titans are loaded as far as the salary cap is concerned, especially when you think about the Indianapolis Colts, who have about, what, 8 to 9 times the amount of money as far as the salary cap. What, either number two, I think, as far as the most money to spend?
I believe that's right.
I mean, to me, this is a chance for, you know, just forget about whether you're a fan of the Titans or Colts. Give me the choice of having which team right now. You, first of all, you got to make sure you have an established quarterback, because I don't know if Phillip Rivers is coming back yet or not. In fact, he's kind of like pondering his future as we speak right now, according to some of the words that have come out this week. But I feel kind of certain that he'll be back at least one more year. But with that said, I mean, when you've got that much money, there's no reason why the Colts shouldn't all of a sudden take control of this division right now and run away with it for the next 3 years.
I think what the Colts have is they're probably the best team in the division on both sides of the line of scrimmage, too, you know, and that's where the Titans were imbalanced this year. They were solid on offense and a good offensive line, but they were not good enough on the defensive line and in defense in general. And, you know, what's intriguing, too, I think, when you look at the division, you know, all of a sudden you have to keep an eye open for old Jacksonville there. You know, it looks as if they're going to hire Urban Meyer, and it looks like, you know, Trevor Lawrence will be his quarterback. They've got a ton of cap.
Jacksonville's
space.
Got number one, by the way, with the salary cap. They got tons
exactly.
of money to spend.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and you know, you do have some decent young players, you know, at a number of positions on that team too. It's not as quite bereft of talent as you might think. So, you know, if not immediately, you know, certainly I think they'll be on the rise here shortly, too.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, look, we all often look at sometimes these windows and how long they're open, and there's some teams it just seems like it never closes. Where are we when we look at the Titans window, how would you gauge it right now? Because to me, because of the glaring issues with the defense, I mean, is it to me? You want okay? What's enough? What will satisfy you? Winning, you know, getting to the playoffs. If you win a game, great. Or do you really want a team built to win a Super Bowl? And that's been always that question. Where I don't know how important winning a Super Bowl is. Yeah, you would like to win a Super Bowl, but if we went so long as far as Titans fans were concerned, being able just to host a playoff game, that it was almost like, well, at least we hosted a playoff game.
yeah, you know, I mean, there was a little bit of sense of that, but you know what I do like too now when you look at the Titans is, you know, I think the bar has been raised a little bit, certainly, you know, since John Robinson came along, you know, 5 straight winning seasons, you know, and they got out of the 9-7 rut this year, you know, so I think, you know, those years of you know, wandering in the desert and never knowing when you might have another winning record,
right.
I think are in the past. And you know, so I think the expectations are a little higher. But, yeah, the window, you know, I think certainly the offense, you know, when you look at kind of the keys, you know, Tannehill, Henry, certainly A.J. Brown is a youngster, Taylor Lewan, you know, not a youngster anymore. But there's at least a couple more years, I think, that you could consider it an open window for the offense. Your stars can still be considered in their prime, you know, for at least another year or two. Yeah, the question is can you load up this defense, you know, significantly enough? And again, as we've said this year and before, doesn't have to be a great defense. You know, if it's a so-so defense and brings back a lot of these same offensive parts, you know, you're in pretty good shape. Teams are winning these days by scoring a ton of points and by doing okay defensively. As long as you can, in general, if you can have a pass rush, if you can create some turnovers potentially and come up with a couple of, you know, 2, 3, 4 key stops a game, you know, you can win with a defense that's not great.
Well, remember 2 years ago, the whole thing was, you can't use the word good in the off season. You're having a great day. Like, John, what kind of day are you having? I'm having a great day, right? So, and last year, making the run to the AFC Championship game before losing to the eventual Super Bowl champs, great season. Yeah, you win the division for the first time since 2008. But do we look at this team as a great, I mean, do we look at what they accomplished here this year as a great season? See, I don't think so. And here's the thing. If it's that fine line, if you accept that, then you're accepting, you know, not living up to your own expectations.
Yeah, no, I don't think it can be certainly considered a great season. And, you know, but on the other hand, I don't think you can just sweep away the first 11-win season in a dozen years, the first division championship, the first home playoff game in a dozen years. You can't just, you know, knock those off the board and say, oh, we didn't do anything in the playoffs. You know, those are accomplishments, relatively speaking, for a franchise that has really struggled, you know, until the last few years. So, you know, understand that there were some accomplishments made, but, no, this team was just too flawed defensively, you know, and I'll go right back to what I said. You know, when your offense is averaging 30 points a game, you don't need to be great, but for the better part of the season, and oddly enough, the offensive and defensive roles were reversed in the playoffs, but for the better part of the year, you know, the defense just was not doing enough to where all the pressure came down on the shoulders of the offense, and they had to score 30 points a game or the team was not going to win.
Whose fault was it the team wasn't making adjustments during the game? I mean, look, Brandon Williams, along with Calais Campbell, they were not there back in the regular season in November when the Ravens took on the Titans. Huge difference there as far as what we saw on Sunday. Was this, I mean, whose offense was this on Sunday? Who was making the real decisions on being conservative, not going for fourth down? I mean, yes, it certainly falls in the lap of the head coach because it's ultimately his decision, but was his fingerprints all over the offense, especially in the second half on Sunday?
Well, I think certainly when you talk about those calls, like the fourth down call, things like that, those fall in the lap of the head coach. But generally in offense, I think the game plan, you know, is set in place. You know, the offensive coordinator and the head coach develop it during the week. And, you know, I can see it in two ways. You know, if you look at what Arthur Smith was thinking, you know, he says basically, for the most part, in every game this year, if we've run Derrick Henry enough, if we've hit him hard enough, things start to break. You know, it may not happen in the first or the second quarter, but generally in the third and the fourth, things start to open up. He gets some chunks. You know, we start scoring more points. And it just never did this game. And you would have liked to have seen, you know, and maybe retrospect, Arthur Smith is thinking the same thing, you know, somewhere in that third quarter or you know, early in the fourth, okay, we got to get away from this a little bit. You know, they're jamming the line. As you mentioned,
right,
they have Campbell back and then Brandon Williams, and it's just not happening. So eventually you've got to, you know, start using the pass to maybe open up some lanes to run in. And, it just didn't happen with the Titans. And you know, it's a little bit of a puzzle on that one. I think the word stubborn has been used at times there, and I think that's fair. You know, and as I say, what he's looking at is track record. Okay, we've done this every game, and eventually things start to break. Wasn't breaking against the Ravens.
All right, tonight the Preds start their season. What are your expectations early on as far as to put the bad taste of how last year wrapped up in August?
Yeah, well, to their credit, you know, they made a decent change, you know, a decent amount of change in this roster, despite the fact they're, you know, some of the big money guys really can't be moved. But you know, I do see some new faces in there. You look at a second line with, you know, probably tonight we'll have two out of the three guys are new, and Eric Halla and Luke Kunin. I like to see that. Nick Cousins, the guy on the third line, is new from last year. I think the key, of course, will be this first line. They've got to pick it up. Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson, all of them have to pick up what they did last year. Is that possible? I think so. They've all showed it previously in their career. And then I think in general, I just want to see a different personality from this team. I didn't think they had much of an identity or personality at all last year. There was nothing in particular, you could say that they did great or that really stood out. So give me a little bit more of that you know, that old school Predators identity this year. That's one of the things I'll be looking at early on.
I was talking about this with Pete Weber yesterday, the voice of the Preds. Is Brad Richardson that wild card, that he could be that extra piece that's missing on the ice and in the locker room, as far as, you know, being that extra part that gels this team?
I think, you know, certainly, you know, they're not expecting a ton of offensive support now. You know, Brad Richardson, he's a little bit long in the tooth, but yeah,
35 you know, years of age.
That's right. Long in the tooth for a hockey player, anyway. But he's a guy that, you know, that's done a lot in the playoffs over the years. He's been a captain in the past. You know, he's won a Stanley Cup. I think this is a team that needed a little bit of a drive, an engine, a leader player. So I think there's certainly the possibility, given his track record, that he could be a leader. And as I say, some of the other guys too, you know, don't have necessarily the playoff resume that Brad Richardson does. But, you know, they can also help in kind of shaping that personality and being a little bit of a tougher team to play against. As I say, giving themselves a little bit more of an identity than last year.
Well, I think it's important, too, to get off to the strong start over the first month. And I look at players like a Philip Forsberg, you know, come out hot in the beginning and just really show everybody exactly, you know, the flashes that we've seen out of him. But get it from the start. I think that's the most important thing for this team, especially if you want to talk about a team taking the ice with a little swagger to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now they've got John Hines has had some time to work with this team. You know, he was obviously thrown in the middle of last season, and never really got much of a training camp. He didn't get a full training camp this go-round either, unfortunately for him. But, you know, it's enough time now where you can say that the coach is in place. He's implemented his scheme. You know, now is it working? Are those players getting better? We remember when Peter Laviolette first came in, you know, everybody took a big step forward. You know, he had that motivational effect, and players were doing far more than they had in the past. I think we need to see some progress soon from players that have been coached by John Hines too. You need to have that impact and make guys better, especially your best players, because the top three, Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson, have not been at their best in the last year or so.
Also, with the compact season, with so many games during the course of the week, so important for teams to have really two solid goalies, which creates the opportunity there for Pekka to have a rebound kind of thing where people aren't questioning him, and outstanding play again, continued improvement for Saros as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the door is certainly open for UC Saros to become the dominant number one, you know, and we saw some of that towards the end of last season. And of course, he started all the playoff games. I thought he was, you know, good, maybe not great. You know, I think the Preds would like to see a little bit more. I think Pekka Rinne, started to come back a little bit towards the end of last season, back to, you know, more of the guy that we knew. Now, is he going to be his Vezina style of years ago? Certainly not. But, you know, he can certainly be a great support and a great guy to play. As you say, this is a very compact schedule, you just can't get by with a dominant number one. You're going to have to play two goalies in terms of rest and so forth. So we'll see what the little Finn and the big Finn can do starting tonight.
BroadwaySportsMedia.com is the site. What can the listeners expect when they go there?
We got all kinds of coverage, especially the Titans. We've probably got the most coverage of any website, certainly covering the Titans. You know, probably 10, 12 writers, all kinds of good analysis, podcasts, you name it there. And we're also doing plenty of Preds coverage and coverage of the Nashville SC soccer team as well.
Hey, we appreciate you, John. Welcome back, as always. Happy New Year to you, and look forward to talking to you often this year.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Same